This divine energy of mind consists of the three modes of material nature. It is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Please repeat. This divine energy of mind.
This divine energy of mine.
Consisting of the three modes of material nature.
Consisting of the three modes of material nature.
It's difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
Okay, Prabhu. So it's that time again to mute everybody. So Janaspriya can speak without interruption.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies. All of these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Bandha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain time in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though the material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the supreme will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined here as divine nature due to his divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by the divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestations. The Vedas confirm this as follows: Mayam tu prakitam vidyam, mayam tu maheshwaram. Although maya, illusion, is false or false or temporary, the background of maya is the supreme magician. In the background of maya is the supreme magician, the supreme personality, Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Satchatsara Upanishad 4:10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be held by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot be helped the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore only Lord Krishna, his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be free from the bondage of material nature. The devotional service of Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of illusory energy, can order his insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words Mam Eva are also significant. Mam means unto me, Krishna, Vishnu, only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the same level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun, passion, and Tamagun, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Veda Svetashvatara Upanishad 3:8 confirmed this in the phrase, Tameva Vidyatva or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation could be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti prasadata sarvesham Vishnu devana samsaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Translation, one more time. This divine initial mind consists of the three modes of material nature. It's difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered to me can cross beyond it. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Shaksuru Militanjana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So we're on the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and this chapter basically has been talking about the divine energies of the Supreme Lord. And in this verse, the problem is being presented that this energy consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. So for most people, because they haven't had the opportunity to understand about higher consciousness or Krishna consciousness, then they don't even know they could escape the clutches of Maya. And they're under the illusion of thinking that they're happy, although they're being put through so many types of miseries. So that is the problem. So the solution is given here in the next line. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So this is the whole formula, and this is what Prabhupada tried to make us understand, that we have to surrender. There's no other way. Surrender to Krishna is the only way that we could cross over this entanglement of material nature. Due to our misusing dependence, we chose to forget about Krishna, and we have become entangled in material nature. And due to some good fortune, maybe from previous karma, we have come in this lifetime, we've been exposed to a way out of this great maze of suffering and torture and difficulty and old age and ultimately death. Even for the non-believer, Krishna says that he appears in the form of dead. So whether somebody believes on Krishna or not, the time of death, there's no getting out of it. It's funny that Prabhupada mentioned in one of the lectures that I heard that some of the foolish people, he was saying that they will put stool over the body when they think they're going to die, and they think, oh, I'll stink so bad that they won't come near me. So he says, this is just simply foolishness. Because there's no escaping death for the non-believer. But for the devotee of the Lord, not only is it escaping death, but it's actually regaining his original position that is being covered. This mentioned here with the material energy, the original superior power is covered. So we never lose our original position. We never, it's not simply covered by rolling up in the mud of material energy, illusion by the body and everything that comes related to the body, you know, because we don't have the understanding. But the key is that we have to surrender to Krishna. And once we start that process, then it's mentioned here on the purport that a person that is bound out by ropes, how could he help somebody else? So he says the only way he could be relieved from that state is by the Supreme Lord or by the representative of the Supreme Lord. So mostly I think on my case it's simply Prabhupada's mercy that we became in contact with his teachings, his books. I got a Bhagavad Gita given to me. It was a black and white Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada standing, I think, in the courtyard of New York Temple, and there's a birdhouse behind him. It was a black and white, the whole Bhagavad Gita was black and white. And I put it in my drawer. And I looked through it, but I never read it. And but I had that back together in my possession, so it was there. And I would look at it sometimes and try to read it, but I didn't understand what it was really. But just simply looking at that picture of Prabhupada, and he looked so serious, and I thought, wow, he doesn't look very happy. So the seed was planted because I touched 1BTG. I touched it, and I saw the picture of Prabhupada. And that's only through his mercy, I think. Some people are more fortunate that they have tried in previous life to live like a Brahman, to not to be an animal, and engage themselves in the worship of Krishna or some higher type of yoga, and they have tried. So then Krishna gives them that opportunity. And there's one time when somebody actually told or asked Prabhupada, I don't recall, that I must have performed millions of austerities, Prabhupada, to come in this lifetime, to come to Krishna consciousness. And to that one particular person, Prabhupada said, "You didn't do anything. It's all my mercy." So I choose to apply myself to be one of those that really I don't think I did anything, but simply by the mercy of Prabhupada, I encountered the devotee that gave me the back to Godhead. And eventually I met the devotees. I invited the devotees to come into my home because it was very cold outside. It was snowing, and they came and had tea. And they gave me a Krishna book. And the devotee told me, "Now you read one chapter at a time and then meditate on it. Don't try to read the whole book." So I followed that, and I read the first chapter of a Krishna book. And I was just totally amazed. And after reading the book for a few days, I thought, even if this is all like fantasy, this is the greatest fantasy I ever come across. You know, so I did look through the book, little other parts, but I was reading religiously only one chapter at a time because that's what I was told to do. So this is all Krishna's mercy, and this is all the spiritual master. He works through the devotees. Just like Krishna works through the spiritual master, then the spiritual master, he works through the devotees. So Prabhupada came into my life through the mercy of the devotees, that they gave me this book and they invited me to come to the temple. And that is the beginning for me. And as the more that I start going to the temple, and I was very ready at that time to become a devotee. I was already a vegetarian, and I was doing transcendental meditation, and I wasn't taking intoxicants at the time. And I was living very, very simply. I only owned like a couple pieces of clothing, and I slept on the floor on a little grass mat, and I had two little bowls, and I ate brown rice with soy sauce, and that's all I ate. So when I met the devotees, it was like, wow. I went to the temple, and they were having very nice prasadam, and they were very happy. And so it was like a whole new world that I felt like I belong into that world, and I felt like this is my family, this is my home, those are my people. Immediately I felt like I belong, and all the devotees were so nice, they were so friendly, and of course they were so happy to see some new person coming and take into Krishna consciousness, because they knew that Prabhupada would be pleased. So, as devotees, we're not we're not trying to become famous. We're not trying to become powerful. We're not after wealth, fame, or we don't want to be in some high position. If that comes through our service to Krishna, then that's the mercy of Krishna. But the devotee, his goal is actually only to serve Krishna. And why do he wants to serve Krishna? Because that is the only way to regain our original transcendental position of, that's our identity. We are eternal servants of Krishna. And as long as we're trying to do anything else, then it just doesn't work. It's extremely difficult. Even in the material world, being kicked around by Maya is extremely difficult, especially for somebody that has any spirituality. Only those people who are, it's mentioned in the next verse, that the demons there, they don't have no understanding. So they're under the illusion that they're very happy. But we understand that the happiness is only temporary. And as the bodies, we understand that, yes, this Krishna consciousness might be like poison in the beginning because we're so addicted to satisfying our senses. But as that addiction starts dwindling, as we become more addicted to Krishna, once we become addicted to Krishna, then actually Maya is there to help us at that point. With Maya sees that the body actually is trying so very hard, then Maya actually surrenders and she actually tries to help that one devotee. And we understand that we don't want to die not trying to please Krishna. We've done that millions of lifetimes. And what happens if you fail to serve Krishna in this lifetime when you have the human form of life? If you are fortunate and you take another human birth, you know, being on the womb, Prabhupada explains, is not a very good position. He says, if you put an adult in the same situation that the baby is on the womb, he'll die in 3 seconds, he says. So it's not a very nice place to be. And if we go back to the animal kingdom, then God knows how long we'll take over again to come to the human form of life. So while we have this human form of life, we really, really have to apply ourselves. And the process that the Acharya gives is not some experimental process. This is a professional quality process. And many, many people have graduated from this process, and we have examples of so many nice acharyas and so many great Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. And even within our friends, you could see some of these devotees becoming so advanced in Krishna consciousness. And you could see the happiness in their face. You could see how they're ecstatic to get up at 3 in the morning, and they're ecstatic to talk about Krishna. And Krishna actually feels their whole life 100%. So that is the goal, that our whole life could be like that. That whatever we're doing for Krishna. And if we're in a situation where we still need to deal with the material world, then that's still okay, Prabhupada says. He says, you know, if you're a jeweler, then do your job, you know, whatever you're doing. If you're a teacher, keep teaching. But you still think of Krishna, and then you get an opportunity to talk to whoever you can about Krishna. And if you cannot talk to them and preach to Krishna, then by your example, by your personality, by your kindness, by your being so Brahmana-like, then people appreciate that, you know. I have I'm not a very good example, but to some, I guess, some degree, sometimes when I just go to the grocery store, I had one cashier just asked me the other day, why do you look so happy? So then you get a chance to say, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna. And then they start thinking, oh my, maybe I should become a devotee too. So it doesn't matter whatever our position is, we have to try, we really have to try to please Guru and Gauranga. And if we do this till we die, then Krishna will take care of us. But if we still want to play with Maya, then that's a very bad position to be in. And if we still illusion that somehow Maya is going to make me happy somehow, then it's very sad, because it's a very dangerous position. And Prabhupada says that the problem with Western devotees is that you don't think that Maya is so bad. You don't think that it's actually so dangerous. But we have to believe the words of Guru, and we have to believe the words of Krishna, where he says, you know, surrender to me and I will take care of you. Don't fear, yes. Do everything for me. So I'm going to stop there and ask for comments, questions, challenges.
Okay, anybody? Well, I wanted to interject with something, if I could. And this is, of course, is a verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes very often.
Yeah, as soon as I read it, I went like, it rang a bell in my head, you know, the first line.
Uh-huh.
The Sanskrit, yeah, you heard that a lot in the verses.
Yeah, so mame vaye prapadyante. If we simply surrender to Krishna, then he can release us from this material energy. Otherwise, there's no chance. And that's done through service. Even a little bit of service is just the beginning. And then it will take us ultimately back home, back to Godhead. I came across something in the book distribution Nectar newsletter, or emails that come out. Does anybody else get those, or am I the only one?
Oh, you should put this on the name of the class, too. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, this is something very interesting I wanted to read. Did anybody know that story? I think we read it once in our Prabhupada Appreciation Night, or somebody told it about a Shruti Kirti Prabhu, once he was on an airplane and one of the stewardesses came over and took some prasadam and ate it right in front of Prabhupada, and then he was thinking how fortunate that lady was. Anybody remember this story?
Kind of.
Anyway, let me read this. It's really something. Prabhupada was traveling in South America and with his two servants. The temple where they had been had gave them a packed lunch for the plane. So in the air, Shruti Kirti Prabhu, Prabhupada's servant, opened Prabhupada's lunch pack and served him his prasadam of puffed rice and peanuts. Prabhupada had his fill and handed over the remnants of Shruti Kirti, who just begun eating when a lady air hostess comes over and in one motion says, "That looks tasty," and grabs a handful, throws it into her mouth. Prabhupada smiled. Shruti Kirti was somewhat shocked. She then asked, "Why bring your own food?" Shruti Kirti informed her that they were vegetarians, etc., etc. She immediately said, "Is there anything else I can get you? Fruit, milk?" Prabhupada said, "Hot milk." 5 minutes later, she returned with 3 cups of hot milk she got from first class. Prabhupada thanked her, and the devotees discussed amongst themselves, and Prabhupada remarked that it's natural nature of a pious woman to serve. Anyway, over the years, this had become one of Shruti Kirti's favorite Prabhupada pastimes and stories to tell. So does anybody remember this pastime? We did read it before.
Yeah.
Okay. It was one of my favorites, too. Okay, now here's part two. Anyway, now part two. he was recently again in South America doing a preaching tour, enlivening the devotees and selling his book, What is the Difficulty? And he told that story in Brazil, so Sri Chakirti. Afterwards, one devotee came up to him and asked, would Sri Chakirti Prabhu like to hear an amazing story? This devotee went out in some remote village, going door to door selling books. When he knocked on a door and a lady opened the door wearing tilak, she then invited the devotee in to her house, and it was like a little temple, an altar with deities, pictures on the wall, and all of Srila Prabhupada's books in Portuguese on her bookshelf. The devotee just had to ask her how she became a devotee. Now remember, we're talking about out in the middle of nowhere with no association. She said she used to be an airline hostess some years ago, and she met the author of these books. He was so saintly and gentle and kind that she looked up who he was and what he did from his boarding pass name. She then got some of his books and began to read. Then said she started to chant. And so chanting, she offered her food to Krishna, and so she did all that and became a devotee from that small contact. Sri Chakirti was amazed, while at the same time understood the potency of prasadam and even a moment's association with a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. Now that has become one of Sri Chakirti's favorite stories to tell. So can you imagine that one contact? And that's even more amazing than her first contact. That, you know, just that little bit of association with Srila Prabhupada, doing some service and taking the remnants of foodstuffs from a pure devotee, that she herself became a devotee.
Hello.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to keep this read on the morning for Bhagavatam, but anyway, is he going to repeat again?
I spilled the beans.
Yeah, he spilled the beans, but he might say again the same story on the Bhagavatam.
Oh, yeah, please do. That's
repetition
amazing.
Is good.
Yeah, repetition is good.
I didn't know that part.
But he grabbed his remnants, right?
Yeah.
He just grabbed his remnants. Yeah. Boy, smart, fortunate lady.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
We also read about this one girl. She was quite young at the time, you know, just a young teenager, who was on the street in London, and the Rathiatra passed by, and Srila Prabhupada was there, and she was close by, and as Prabhupada passed, she stopped for a moment and said, how are you? What is your name? He was just friendly with her for a few moments, and that one contact stayed with her throughout her life, and then later on, you know, she started coming to the temple and started becoming a devotee, just by that one contact. You know, so yeah, it's
wow.
Krishna's mercy, and that mercy comes through a devotee,
yeah.
Your representative.
Wow.
Anyway, I thought I'd share that with you all. I thought you'd like it.
Thank you. Wow, my goodness.
Actually, sometimes I think it would be nice if anybody could sort of, since the Prabhupada interviewed or spoke to so many people, some of them very distinguished. It would be interesting to sort of follow up after all these years to see if somebody could meet them and see what their views are now, if anything, because this is quite amazing, this story you just told. But it would be interesting to see if so many years on, whether it's made any impact or anything. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think they do that to some degree when, you know, to some other people that are there on record.
Mm.
They try to interview him for the videos and stuff like that. But
it'd be kind
of hard to track and find people, especially if you don't have a name. If you have a name, then maybe there's a chance. But
Well, someone would have to start, I think, keeping record and make a movie or write a book about how people come to Krishna consciousness. That would be so.
Well, there was that Sally and Gopal Agarwal, you know, they did a BTG article on them a year or two ago. And, you know, that one contact they had with Srila Prabhupada when he first came to America, they were his sponsors. And, you know, they never forgot it. They were, in fact, of course, they never really became devotees, but they were very pious. These are pious, you know. So, and it made such an impression on them, they said, you know, it made an indelible sanskara, indelible impression. You know, they'll never forget.
That was a few years ago?
You mean the BTGR article?
Yeah, like a year.
Yeah, I read it about 2 years ago in the BTG.
Oh, I must have missed that one.
It was a wonderful, because she was, especially Gopal Agarwal, but especially Sally Agarwal. You know,
yeah.
She was so appreciative of Srila Prabhupada. You know, it was a life-changing experience for her. You know, I guess because she's married to a Hindu, they maybe never took up Krishna consciousness too seriously. But, you know, she just glowingly, she remembered everything, you know, that one contact that she had. So,
how long ago was it the stewardess that, you know, when they found her again? And
oh, this just came out. Let me see if it says what the time.
I fell behind on my subscription to BTG.
Well, the stewardess, well, that was a email that I received.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a book distribution emails that go out. I signed up for that. So sometimes I get really enlivening stuff.
Wow.
You know, Vijay, he's got an email list to send out.
Oh, okay.
It's a story also similar that Ramananda, I think he told again, you know, on a class, then a devotee in Russia was distributing books, and he noticed another devotee.
Oh, yeah, we just read that.
Distributing books also. You remember that, Kundita? And the devotee in Russia was distributing books. And then he saw on the same street another devotee was distributing books, but he never met him before. And he came to him and he said, "What temple you are from?" And he said, "What?
Is there a temple
around
what,
here?
What temple?"
And then he became a devotee and distributing books just by getting in contact with Prabhupada's book. So he, in the book, Prabhupada said, "You have to distribute this knowledge." So he went and he started distributing.
Yeah, because he read in Prabhupada's
but
book.
He must bought some. Oh, no, he was doing copies.
Yeah, he made photocopies.
Yeah, photocopies.
And he was selling books, doing book distribution.
Imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's the potency.
That's the potency.
Amazing.
Yeah, we get those amazing emails from book distributors around the world. They write those stories, you know.
So on this lecture that Prabhupada gave on this verse, somebody asked at the end of the lecture the question that we have discussed previously. The question is it possible for one to make it in this lifetime, this one lifetime? And so Prabhupada answers, it is possible in 1 second, provided you are serious. It is not difficult. Krishna Bhakti, Bahu Janmante, Jananma Prapayante. Bhagavad Gita 7:19, after many, many births and deaths, one who is intelligent, wise, fully grown, wise, he surrenders unto me, Krishna says. So if I'm intelligent, then I will see that if that is the goal of life, that after many, many births, one has to surrender to Krishna, why not myself? Surrender immediately. This is intelligence. It is a fact that one has to come to this point after cultivating knowledge for many births, then why not accept it immediately? Why shall I wait for many births if this is a fact? So that requires little intelligence. It does not require many births. It requires little intelligence. Take to this Krishna consciousness seriously. Your problems are solved. Not if you don't believe in it, then come on, come to argue. Come to philosophy. Come to reason. Go on arguing. There are volumes of books. You can be convinced. You can learn it. Every answer is there in Bhagavad Gita. You can try to understand it with your reason, with your argument. It's open. Bhakarjuna, he was taught Bhagavad Gita. How much time? At most within half an hour. Because he was very intelligent. This Bhagavad Gita, the people of the world are reading. Very, very learned scholars, wise men, they are reading. They are trying to understand, given different interpretations. And there is thousands of editions, commentaries. But Arjuna was intelligent. He understood it within half an hour. So Prabhupada goes on. Should I read a little more? Or just one more paragraph. So it requires relative intelligence. Everything. This world is relative law of relativity. That is scientific. Professor Einstein theory, law of relativity. So it's relative. One can become immediately Krishna conscious within a second. And one could not become Krishna conscious after many, many births. And that, so it is relative. If you got sufficient intelligence, you can accept it immediately. If there's less intelligence, then it will take time. You cannot say that it will be possible after so many years. That cannot be said. It is relative. Everything is relative. For a human being, from here to here, one step. For a small microbe, 10 miles. From here to there, 10 miles for him. So everything is relative. This world is relative world. There's no such formula. One can become Krishna conscious after so many years. No, there's no such formula. One can not become Krishna conscious even after millions of births. And one can become Krishna conscious within a second. But on the other hand, within this life, we can become perfect in Krishna consciousness if we take it seriously. Especially, you are all young boys. We expect at least you will live for 50 years or more. So that is sufficient time. Sufficient. More than sufficient. More than sufficient. If for 50 years one simply chants Hare Krishna, he is sure to become perfect. There's no doubt about it. Simply, if you chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, there is no doubt about it. So that's the end of that one paragraph. So this lifetime we could make it. We just got to keep on going and hearing and chanting and becoming enlivened by the association of the bodies.
Hi.
Hi.
That's enlivening.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you, when you told the story about how you met devotees first time, it was in Mexico?
No, it was in Canada.
Canada? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you mentioned it's snowing. I was thinking maybe you high elevation in Mexico.
Yeah, it was actually very cold outside. It was snowing. The devotees used to do Sankirtan like half a block from my house in front of the library. And I saw him in there and they were rubbing their hands and they were walking around, but they were there every day doing book distribution. And I said, would you like to come have some warm tea? And they go, yeah. Just to get out of the cold for a little while. Actually, when they came to my house, there was an Indian shop underneath our apartment, and they must have had 400 posters of Krishna, full size. No, Ganesh and Shiva and all the demigods. And my wife, she went to the shop and she picked 3 posters. We didn't know who they were or what they were. She just thought they were cool. And she picked Radha Krishna, Gopal Krishna, and Lord Shiva. So when the devotees came into our apartment, they saw the posters and they go, wow, where did you get those? So we told them, right down there. So actually they went and got some and put them up in the temple because, you know, the temple was very plain. There were no paintings or there were no artists painting at that time.
I want to just interject with just one other thing. I'm just so amazed at in the association of devotees like this when we study the Bhagavad Gita. Even though, you know, how many times have we read the Bhagavad Gita? And here it is. I find things in every purport that is astonishing. It's like I never read it before. This is amazing here in this verse, which is a very, very famous verse. You hear it hundreds and hundreds of times. But here Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, which I didn't see before, that mam eva ye prapadyante, that is so significant. Because Krishna is saying that only unto me, says mam eva, just surrender unto me only, and then you'll get liberation of the clutches of Maya. Not Brahma, not Shiva, not Durga, not any other demigods. And then Prabhupada quotes this wonderful verse, which I got to memorize this. It's very easy. Mukti parata sarvesham vishnur eva na sangshaya. There is no doubt that simply by surrendering to Vishnu, one can gain liberation. Mukti parata. So I just wonderful, you know.
It's ever fresh.
It's so important to have these classes, you know.
Well, Prabhupada wanted the devotees to read at least 2 hours a day. He recommended that, and then.
But can I ask this a question?
So that's morning and evening, yeah, reading.
So Ramananda, does that mean that, you know, Christians, Muslims, what does that mean? They not get into liberation? I mean, not direct, right? They can go into steps, right? Being led.
Well,
or Shivites?
Not Shivites. Shivites,
okay.
They have a ways to go.
Right.
But one's a Christian or a Muslim, it depends on what his heart is. You know, if he's really praying the Supreme Godhead, maybe he doesn't know the name Krishna. But if he's actually praying with sincerity, he's trying to surrender with sincerity, then Krishna is going to guide him.
I read somewhere where Prabhupada said the reason why you all are devotees of Lord Jagannath is that you were good Christians in a previous lifetime, because Christians are worshiping the Lord of the universe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Somewhere I read that. And then other times, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that Christians will go to a planet, the planet of Jesus, and then he'll instruct them more, and then they'll, I don't know, take birth again, or...
Yes, I've heard that too. They go to the planet where Jesus
is
in charge or something, and then they make further advancement.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. I don't know how bona fide it is, but it sounds plausible.
So many things.
Well, Jen's free. It's almost 7 o'clock.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So could you hear the chanting this morning? Was it clear enough?
Static. It was very nice.
It
was kind of running up right till class started, but
it
was a little late anyway, so it helped to fill in the gaps. So actually, I was thinking it's nice because a lot of times I really don't have anything to say before class, or just silence. So you can fill it in with Hari Nam, and that's
We'll get the evening kirtan going next.
Oh,
right after class finishes.
Wow,
we actually do that.
That would be very nice.
Just going to read one more line, Prabhupada says, on this purport on this class. This devotee, a German devotee, is asking the question, I know so many people, young people, that when they see us chanting on the street, I can see in their eyes, they really want to chant, but something is stopping them. The Prabhupada answer is, that is Maya. Maya is there. Therefore, Krishna says, Maya is very strong, but if you capture Krishna very more strongly, then Maya cannot do anything. If something is opposing your chanting, then you will have to chant more loudly. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He says, when I feel danger, I chant very loudly, Prabhupada says. And then he goes into Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying the same thing.
Wow. Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jaspriya.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavad Gita
ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Ramananda Maharaj ki.
Oh, yes.
Jai.
Jai.
Hari. Hari Bo.
Okay, Hari Bo, Prabhupada.